For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Limits, can you hear me?
Yes, Joe, I got you.
Can all of Western Pennsylvania hear me?
Western Pennsylvania can hear you.
I'm the last guy you would want in a technological emergency. I can tell you that. I'm at Studio B in Monroeville. Very happy to be here. Bowser Chevy, what a place. I've got a giant television to my left in which I'm watching draft preview things like best running backs available, Jenty, Hampton, Henderson, Judkins, and yes, Caleb Johnson. And I know you love Caleb Johnson, Limits. And that's where I begin today. No, Bob's not here. He's never here on Tuesday. So why are you all so disappointed? I'll give you a moment to get over that. That part-time pomp will be back tomorrow, and then we'll move on. Okay? Everybody over that? Limits, are you over the fact that Bob's not here?
It's a good moment of silence for Bob, yes.
It really was. So we're ready to roll here today. You and I were in a little bit of a tizzy earlier trying to get some clips together. Sometimes I don't give you enough time to do that, and I apologize. Then again, I thought you already had the clips together, but nobody really cares. We are 48 hours or so, a little bit more than that, away from a draft that, again, has tons of quarterback intrigue involving the Steelers. This is fun in a way. I mean, it's good for business when the Steelers still aren't settled at the quarterback situation, but it ain't good for them. And everybody's wondering what is going to happen on Thursday night with the 21st pick. And depending on who you believe, they could move up, they could move back, they could stay at 21 and take any one of three quarterbacks, or they could move up to try to take a quarterback, except they won't move up. There's zero chance of that, says Jerry Dulac, for instance, to move up and take Sanders. This is all kind of what I'm getting at, Limits. And let's see if I can articulate this properly. The Steelers need a quarterback. People are traumatized by the Kenny Pickett selection. And anybody they would pick at 21 this year, you're going to hear a lot of people saying, see, they reached again. They're still waiting on Rodgers, if they are still waiting on Rodgers at that point. And they got desperate and they chose Jackson Dart, who's nothing but another Kenny Pickett. They chose Jalen Milroe, who's nothing but another Kenny Pickett. They chose Shedeur Sanders, who's nothing but a Kenny Pickett. Here's what I would say to all this as we ramp up to what should be a very dramatic evening. We have no idea which of these quarterbacks, if any, will turn out. Nobody has any idea. Quarterbacks are the most difficult positions to pick. It's the most difficult position, I should say, to evaluate in all of sports. They don't know. we go back and forth on these guys early in their careers, and we never stop. Like, it's a constant back and forth on quarterbacks, and nobody knows what the hell they're doing, and they never did. They never did. Let's take Shedeur Sanders, for example. I can find people who love him, people who hate him, people who think he's going to be really good, people who think he's going to stink, people who are paranoid about Deion's involvement. Look at Justin Fields. How many times have people gone back and forth on Justin Fields in his career? And we still don't know. What are we, 4 years into his career? We have no idea. The Jets are betting on him. I certainly wouldn't bet on the Jets to know anything, but maybe they're right. It looked like Justin Fields, when he was here, was panning out quite nicely, and then he wasn't. And then he was benched and never brought back. And then they said they wanted him, and then they apparently didn't. At least not want him bad enough. And now he's with the Jets, and we still don't know. All the people who had wildly different opinions on Justin Fields 4 years ago, five going into the draft, I don't know if they're right or wrong yet. Do you? No, nobody does. Russell Wilson. Man, the Steelers look great for getting him, don't they? Look at, what are they, 5-0, 6-1 since he came here? Yeah, and then no. Tua. Man, he was a great pick. Well, no, he wasn't. Yes, he was. No, he wasn't. Yes, he was. Is Drake May any good? I don't know. Geno Smith sucked for his whole career, and then he was pretty good. All of us, including scouts, GMs, coaches, they all change their opinions on quarterbacks all the time. There's this idea that this is a bad quarterback class. How does anybody know that? How do we know that? Look at how many times we all went back and forth on Kenny Pickett. Ben went back and forth on Kenny Pickett. All you need to know when it comes to quarterback evaluation, and I respect Ben's opinion on these matters. How can I not? He's one of the 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time. And this was Ben. We have a clip from football and a couple of years ago after Pickett had played a little bit. This was Ben on Kenny Pickett early in Pickett's career. And I would say that 80 to 90% of us felt exactly how Ben felt, in terms of this at least. After Pickett's preseason going into his second year, we were all on board. If you weren't, you're probably lying if you say you weren't on board with Pickett. The whole underlying theme here of the opening segment being none of us know what the hell we're talking about. This is Ben on Pickett after we had seen Pickett for a little while.
I will add my caveat, my asterisk from earlier. Like, it's Kenny's first year. I get that. But I wasn't sure what to expect with Kenny. I know he played great at Pitt and did a lot of great things. Coming in, I just wasn't sure what to think. I didn't know enough.
Sure.
And early on, I was kind of, okay, I think he'll be good. Like, I think he's, there's no problems. And it's not like, I'm not jealous or anything. There's nothing to be jealous of. But I think there was just like, okay, I think he'll be a good player for them. I think he's going to be what they're looking for. I severely, in my opinion, underestimated Kenny. I think he throws the ball better than I thought. He runs way better than I thought. He's, I don't know if he's faster or just more elusive, but he runs the ball way better than I expected and thought. His decision-making's really, really good. His leadership, his toughness, just enough of an edge to him, it looks like. So, you know, I apologize, and not that I made this like vocal to anybody else, but sure, in my own head or my own, what I was saying is, is, Kenny, keep doing what you're doing, because you are leading this team and becoming the guy that they, I think, everyone was hoping you would be. And I think the sky's the limit for him, really.
That's Ben blanking Roethlisberger, who I would trust to evaluate any quarterback. One of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time. Watching this guy game by game early in his career and coming to that conclusion. And by the way, do we know 100% that he's wrong about it? Well, we know he was wrong about Pickett Steelers' career. But who's to say there's not a small chance that Kenny Pickett, goes to Cleveland, where he doesn't have to deal with Matt Canada or any of the dysfunction. Well, maybe he does have to deal with a lot of the dysfunction, but not Matt Canada. I don't know. Maybe Kenny Pickett will be Geno Smith. I don't know that. None of us do. That was Ben on Kenny Pickett saying you're becoming that guy we all thought or hoped for when the Steelers drafted you. Spoke about him being a better runner than he thought, a better overall quarterback than he thought, a leader going into the future. We were all on that train going into year two. Don't lie. You were too. Limits, were you?
Yeah, I wasn't as big of a backer of Kenny, but I was on board there, yes.
We were all on board that train because none of us know what we're doing. Not me, not you, not Ben, not anybody else you hear, see, read, or watch. None of us. Not Emmanuel Acho, not Dan Orlovsky, not Omar Khan, not Bill Belichick. None of us know. That dude drafted Mac Jones, the greatest coach in NFL history, put all his stock in Mac Jones. None of us know. I mean, I could end it right there. The greatest coach, arguably, in NFL history, put all the marbles on Mac. That's what he did. And I'm going to sit here and tell you, or somebody else on this station or another station or ESPN or NFL Network or in an NFL personnel office is going to tell you definitively which of these quarterbacks is going to be any good. Did you just hear Ben Roethlisberger on Kenny Pickett? So we go back and forth and we go back and forth. And that's just what we do on this position. It is the most difficult position to analyze, to predict, to evaluate in all of sports. You can't look at a college football game and predict. You just can't. Now, maybe on some of the most obvious ones ever you could, but you can count, you know, John Elway's going to be really good, you know, that type of thing. But otherwise, no. And it's a real simple reason. We've talked about that before. And off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, I might add. And that is, you're essentially a baseball pitcher with people diving at your body the whole game, trying to maim you. And the level of athlete, the speed, the violence, all of that, the schemes going against you, the people who are trying to stop you. There's nothing predictive about college football. Processing the game really ranks above anything else. And if you're not processing the game against the elite athletes on the planet and the speed at which they move and the schemes that are devised by people like Dick LeBeau when he did this, right? Who spends his entire life scheming to stop the quarterbacks in his division, for example, that ain't college football. You just don't know until a guy gets in this environment with the 99.9% athletes, 11 of them on the other side of the ball, if he's going to be able to process it in such a way as to win football games. The greatest football minds who have ever walked the planet don't know. So I think I've made that clear going into draft day. Having said that, we all have our opinions, don't we? Jack Ham has his opinion. He loves Jackson Dart. So do I. Do I know? Of course I don't. Neither do you. Neither does anybody else evaluating this draft. So this is what we have going into Thursday. Let's take Shedeur Sanders. We probably have, you know, three teams really looking for a quarterback here. Browns, Giants, Saints, 2, 3, and 9. Browns and Giants said to be fielding offers at 2 and 3. We don't know what the Saints are going to do. Would the Steelers move up? Would they? To take Sanders, for example? Dulac says zero chance of that. Would they take Sanders if he drops to 21? Possibly. They have a first-round grade, according to Dulac, on Jackson Dart. They apparently love Jalen Milroe, according to some people. So as you peruse all of this and analyze all of this and try to come up with an opinion, this is some of what you get. Let's start with Shedeur Sanders, limits, if we could, who is a very polarizing figure going into this draft. I think everybody agrees he's pretty accurate, seems to process the game pretty well. Also seems to take a ton, and I mean a ton, of hits, some of them unnecessary. You read PFF, for example, Pro Football Focus. He's accurate. He avoids turnovers. High-level play when in structure. Weaknesses, velocity, bailing from clean pockets. Where have we seen that before, Kenny Pickett? And then the summary is hard to tell because of a lack of consistent protection at Colorado. Takes himself out of rhythm because of the lack of belief in his protection. That play style will be hard to succeed in the NFL, but if he can play on time more often, his accuracy and turnover avoidance can lead to a long-term successful career in the NFL. Okay, so let's hear a positive and a negative on Shador, if you would, Limits, please.
Here is Chris Sims, the positive side from NBC Sports.
Shador, hey, the complaint might be, he has no wow trait or wow physical skills, even the workout. It's not wow. You don't go, oh my gosh, like you do Cam Ward on about 50 throws, and Cam Ward, you go, holy crap, that's special. That's not what you do with Shador. But you do go, damn, it's really good. Damn, he has played well. Damn, he is a pretty good decision maker. Those are the type of things where you go, yeah, you feel safe. He's shown the ability to lead and get guys to rally around him. That's a real thing, too. So I understand the safe thing there.
I like that. And I'm feeling pretty good about Shador Sanders when I hear that from another former NFL quarterback. I like Shador Sanders. Don't love him. Seems to have the one thing that is a separator, and that is the ability to process. Meaning, when things are moving at high speed, can you identify where to go with the ball? Can you go through your progressions? Can you identify things at the line of scrimmage before the snap of the ball in those precious little 15 seconds? He seems to have that part down. So I'm feeling pretty good about Shador Sanders. But Limits, I think you have something else for me, don't you?
I do. Aaron Wilson is a national reporter based out of Houston. And when Shador Sanders visited with the Steelers, he said, it didn't go very well.
People wonder about the New Orleans Saints and Shador. People think about the New York Giants. I've heard he will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I heard that meeting did not go well. And that wasn't from someone telling me that, because this is always the assumption that it's because someone's trying to affect these boards. But somebody's picking a quarterback higher than expected.
There you go. Other people have refuted that report. So let me ask you, and this is a very short answer for us both, and please weigh in here at 412-928-9370. Your thoughts as we build toward Thursday. Will the Steelers take a quarterback? Should they? And which one do you want them to take? Knowing that all of us, including the best of us, including people who are being paid millions of dollars to comb through every tiny particle of game tape, to analyze people like Jackson Dart from the tip of their head to the tip of their toes. Every single snap this dude has taken since fourth grade. They probably have access to home videos where he was throwing balls in the backyard looking at his form. They don't know either. And all of history proves that. Just played a tape of Ben Roethlisberger analyzing Kenny Pickett in his rookie year, saying, I was wrong. Pickett's actually really good. And we all thought the same, most of us anyway. All right, let's move on here. Well, no, first with Sanders. If the Steelers take him at 21, are you going to be okay with that pick, Limits? I'll just say very quickly, I am.
No, I will come in here the next day and be a little bit frustrated by it.
If they trade up for Shador Sanders, you going to be okay with that? Obviously not.
I will be even more frustrated.
I think I would be okay with that, because that would show conviction on their part that they believe he can be the face of the franchise. I'm a little bit dubious on Shador. I am. I'm not worried about Deion like a lot of people are. I think that's ridiculous. If you love Shador Sanders and you think he's going to be your guy, go get him. And I would say that about any of these guys, by the way. All right.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's move on to Jalen Milroe. Momentum seems to be picking up for this guy, who is, I think, quite clearly, in terms of athletic skill, above anybody, including Ward, when you factor in running and throwing. This guy is a freak. And I think this is Tom Pelissero pointing out, I think he says here, Limits, that Jalen Milroe might be the best running quarterback prospect of all time. Yes.
You heard it right on the NFL Network.
The eye-opening thing that several, not one, several coaches and scouts told me as I was making calls about all these quarterbacks is Jalen Milroe is the greatest runner of the football they've ever evaluated at the quarterback position. Not Lamar Jackson. Jalen Milroe is the best runner that they've ever seen.
Okay, I hear that, and that opens my eyes. He's a better runner than Michael Vick? Really? I didn't think anybody was. There's like a handful of running backs that might be a better runner than Michael Vick. He's a better runner than Michael Vick and Lamar? Okay. Okay, I'll hear that. People love that aspect of his game, and he can throw the ball a million yards. He also has 24 fumbles the last couple seasons. People don't like the fact that he didn't win big at Alabama, Limits. Then again, against Georgia, he had, what, like 380 pass yards? He ran for over 100 and four total touchdowns. That's a pretty good game against Georgia. What do you think of this guy?
Yeah, he was incredible in that game, and that's one of the main ones that I watched of him. But the Oklahoma game is one that I just cannot get out of my mind. The Michigan game, another game, I just cannot get out of my mind with inaccuracy, inconsistent play. He's definitely an incredible runner. I don't think that you can dispute that. But I do wonder if he can just establish himself in the pocket where the weapons that he has on the ground are going to be worth it, because if he's not a passing threat, the box is just going to be stacked.
I mean, I know he's an incredible runner. Anybody who saw an Alabama game, even his bad ones, could see that. It's just this idea that, oh, yeah, he's the greatest running quarterback prospect of all time. Okay, let's see him outdo Michael Vick and Lamar. But in the meantime, just when you're feeling good about Jalen Milroe, we have the opposite, don't we, oh, Limitless Wonder?
This was Field Yates with the Pat McAfee Show just a couple of months ago on the up and down nature of Jalen Milroe.
You know, the tricky part about Jalen is that it's not that he is incapable of making specific types of throws. He's not the best rhythm passer yet. It's just he doesn't do it frequently enough. You know, there was a throw on the first day of practice here that I thought was maybe the best that we saw from any quarterback on the field. It was a dart to a wide receiver, Jalen Royals from Utah State. And then it was like the next rep, Jalen Milroe has a ball that lands in the dirt at the feet of a wide receiver. And you're saying to yourself, if you could just do the first half of what we saw at a much more consistent level, there'd be no question that you would be in the first round conversation. He's a really unique player. I do think that whatever team takes him, hopefully we've learned our lesson from some of these quarterbacks that have come into the NFL young. And Jalen is a true junior, so he's a younger prospect that I know that we have guys that come in and make their mark like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix this past year, but those guys are much more the exception than the rule, and development's going to be a massive theme for what Jalen Milroe's early career looks like.
All right, so we have the whole picture on Jalen Milroe. I'm afraid of this pick. I think I've seen too many guys come into the league where it was all about these physical traits, and it just didn't work out, you know? I could go through a list of 20 of them off the top of my head, even a Tim Tebow, right? You start with that one, Heisman Trophy winner, and he wasn't gonna wow anybody with his throwing from the beginning, but he was a bull of a runner and a leader and all this stuff. And then I think of people like Malik Willis, and maybe he'll still be good, by the way. I don't know. He's another example of somebody who, if he gets his chance in the right environment, might still be good. I'm just kind of dubious here on Milroe. I'm afraid of the lack of college experience and the lack of overall success. That's what concerns me. Would I shred them if they drafted him? Probably not. I'm open to a project when a guy is this talented, but it wouldn't be my pick. How about you?
Oh, I would shred them. I would shred them. Like, if they do end up picking Sanders or Dart, I would probably, out of the three, rather have them take Dart than all the above. It's kind of close between Sanders and Dart, but there's a big gap by the time you get to Milroe. And I wonder how they would be able to best utilize him. I don't think they'd be able to find a way.
What do you mean? You play him at quarterback and you let him do what he does. And you try to figure out if he can process the game, which guys like Pickett have had enormous trouble with throughout history.
And what he does against a lot of good defenses outside of Georgia is struggle.
I know, but he's a baby. He's a baby. How do we know anything yet? That's my whole point to the opening segment limits. Plus, he has baby hands, although there's some controversy over this. Did you see that story?
I did see that story. We could even hear that story if you'd like to hear it in a moment.
Yeah, what is going on here? They say at the Senior Bowl that he has Kenny Pickett toddler hands, that he could barely hold, you know, a binky. And then they say somewhere else that he has 10-inch hands. This was Jalen Milroe with, I believe, Kay Adams on Handgate with him.
Up at Adams.
Look, despite if it was... Damn, 6'9", it don't matter. I can throw the ball, like regardless. Like, this hand size thing, it don't matter. Like, but, like, all of it was wrong. Like, I get to the combine, and like, I measure my hand, and everybody, so I did my first measurement. It's really, it labeled at a 10 initially.
Oh.
So the guy that was measuring my hand looked at me, looked back at him, and he pulled his partner to him. Started measuring his hand. So I did it again. It was 10 again. So then he's like, no, something wrong. So I had to lean on the thing, and he's pulling my fingers, stuff like that. And they still, like, they're measuring it at an accurate, it's now 9 or whatever. And so, of course, it's definitely be way higher than what it was when it first came out there.
Well, that certainly clears things up, doesn't it, Limits?
Just a little bit.
What is going on here?
So different
Does
people,
he have toddler hands or not?
Different people are measuring his hands in different ways. Like, how is that possible? Like,
I think there was actually something to this with Pickett. These tiny little infant hands. I don't want somebody feeding him, you know, formula during the game out of a bottle. I don't like the infant hands. That worries me. If it's true, I don't even know. I didn't follow that story. Did you?
I did, and basically the conclusion that they came away with is, yes, Milroe's hands are small, but they're not Kenny Pickett small. They're a little bit bigger, was the impression I had.
Okay, well, that's helpful. By the way, another example of how we are constantly going back and forth on these quarterbacks before we reach a true verdict, our friend and yours, Andrew Filippone, he's a hero of yours, Limits, is he not?
Andrew Filippone.
Yes, he is a hero of yours.
He is a huge mentor of mine.
He's a mentor, an inspiration, and a hero. You speak of him often, and I like him too. He invented the nickname Mediocre Mason for, well, Mediocre Mason, Mason Rudolph. Yet I'm listening to his show yesterday. Mulsey was still in Nashville, I believe, perhaps with explosive diarrhea, no?
Quite possible. Who knows what Mulsey was doing this weekend down in Nashville?
And I often think about that on a plane.
You think about explosive diarrhea, or my
stomach and how I'm already paranoid and a hypochondriac and claustrophobic, and I don't like flying. And then when you compound that with stomach issues, which are brought on by all of that, it's horrifying.
How do you know he didn't drive?
I don't know that. But that's all beside the point. The point is that the man who came up with the nickname Mediocre Mason is now excited and on the edge of his seat and supporting the idea of Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback and how he could be the next Geno Smith and how he might actually be good. Mason, there we go. Yeah. It's the Rudolph train.
There was no doubt about it.
Oh, we found a new conductor of the Rudolph train.
A very unlikely conductor, right? I mean, this guy was derailing the Rudolph train before it ever got out of the station. Now he jumps on 100 miles in and he's the conductor. Picture Pony in a little conductor hat waving to little kids as they go by. That's what we used to do that, by the way, Limits, in Riverhead, Long Island. We used to visit my grandparents, and 20 yards from their house were train tracks. And when you heard the train bell whistle, when you heard the gate little alarm go off, we would run out of the house, go right up to the tracks, which, thinking back to it, was rather dangerous, and then wave to the conductor. Maybe it was Pony as he went by. How is he conducting the mediocre Mason train right now?
It might have been Ron in 1903 on his way to cover the Pirates in the World Series.
No, that was the Pony Express, to bring it full circle. Ron was riding. That was his first job. He rode a horse. He delivered mail via horseback. How is this happening? I didn't see this coming. That Pony was gonna be riding the Mason train, saying, "Wait, let's wait and see here. This is actually exciting. He might actually be a really good NFL quarterback." He's lost his mind. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I am surprised by this. And he did admit the irony yesterday that, look, of course, I'm the one that dubbed him Mediocre Mason, and I'm the one that wants him here. I think that a lot of people have kind of somewhat gotten fooled by the final stretch that Mason had a couple of years ago.
So do I. Look, the Steelers don't even want him here.
No.
They had a chance to keep him last year after that stretch, and they made him an offer he could refuse, which is to say no offer whatsoever.
And if they really thought that he was worth being the starting quarterback, don't you think they would have paid him more than $5 million a year? Like, wouldn't he command a little bit more if that was a little bit of the discussion? And also, like, to me, the Mason stretch, sure, I was impressed by Mason in the way that he played late in the season. I think everybody has to. But to me, it's like the backup goalie coming in for a stretch for a couple of games and gets hot.
Very good.
Or like,
very good limits.
Somebody coming up from the G League and they have five really good games and you're like, oh, could we have found somebody?
Yes.
No, 17 games of Mason Rudolph is not going to produce anything more than 6 or 7 wins.
Pony had it right the first time. Mediocre Mason. I don't even think it's that much of an insult. Everything about him and his resume screams that at the top of its lungs. In his career, he's a mediocre 9-8-1. In his career, he's completed a very mediocre 63.7% of his passes. In his career, he has a mediocre 28 touchdown to 20 interception ratio. In his career, he has an unbelievably mediocre 84.7 passer rating. The outlier is those 3 games in which there was no pressure and no defense, I might add. He beat the broken Bengals, who were horrific at the time, a really bad Seattle defense, and the Ravens JV team. And then he got to Buffalo for a playoff game and threw an interception in the end zone that was an absolute killer and lost the game. So do I like Mason Rudolph? Do I think he's competent? Sure, he's competent. He's a high-end backup, low-end starter type. Someone else might argue he's never really been the guy. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can get the ball down the field to Pickens and Metcalf and run an offense here. Okay, I'm fine with that for this season, but I don't think it's going to merit anything more than 9-8 or so, and exactly what they've been doing. So I'm not that excited about seeing Mason Rudolph as the Steelers quarterback if the idea is to get in the playoffs and win a game. You?
Right. I mean, I think he's a 6-win quarterback over this stretch. And we obviously had to figure out how the schedule plays out. If there's a murderer's row type of gauntlet at the very end of it, like, I don't think Mason Rudolph would have won any of those games either that Russell Wilson couldn't win. I'm actually somebody who thinks there's a little bit more of a separation between Rudolph and Rodgers. I think it's more like 2-3 wins.
Having said all that, me, you, Pony, Mueller, Crowley, Dickerson, Belichick, Tomlin, Kahn, anybody else you want to name in current NFL or NFL history has no blanking idea when it comes to quarterbacks. None of them. Bill Belichick thought that Mac Jones was a good idea. That was his best thinking. We don't even know yet about Justin Fields 5 years, 4 years into his career. Maybe we don't know about Mason Rudolph. Maybe Pony will be proven right. Maybe you put Mason Rudolph in the right system with good weapons around him and say you're going to stay in even if you screw up. You're our guy. Maybe he is good. I don't know. You don't know. They don't know. That's my whole point here going into this draft as we look at people like Sanders and Dart and Milroe. We have no idea, and neither do they. Yes, indeed. None of us know what's happening with quarterbacks. None of us have any idea. All we can do is guess. All they can do is guess. And that's been the history of it. I'm at Studio B, Bowser Chevy, in Monroeville, having the time of my life here, I might add. I've got a giant iced coffee in front of me, a granola bar that I just ate limits, and I sang you a song that had a cotton candy lyric in it. And you revealed that you like cotton candy.
I do.
I never have. It feels like, it feels like I'm eating cotton, surprisingly enough. What is the appeal of cotton candy?
It tastes good, and it melts in your mouth. And for whatever reason, I think that that's kind of cool.
Even as a kid.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I would eat anything that had sugar in it, you know? I mean, you could hand me, like, you know, a winter mitten, and if it had sugar in it, I think I'd like it. I wasn't real big on cotton candy. And still am not, as a matter of fact.
When's the last time I ate cotton candy? Maybe at, like, a festival.
Why would we?
Like, once
a
year.
Why would anybody choose into that? Or think about that.
I can't
wait to go to the carnival today because I'm going to eat a fistful of cotton.
When I was in grade school, we used to get so much cotton candy. My dad would go and just buy tubs of cotton candy, and then he would use the containers after we ate the cotton candy to make ice. He would put water in the containers, put them in our deep freezer, and then whenever he has a bonfire outside, he would use those containers for ice and put ice in the cooler.
Was this before or after you would spend playtime in the rock box?
This was after the rock box. Funny thing about the rock box, where the rock box was held in a little the little play set with the swings that you told me I was too old to be sitting on in my own backyard.
Yeah.
We moved it over to a neighbor's house further down, and my aunt was like, oh my gosh, that's a nice little play set for the kids. And I said, yes, it was only in our yard for about 15 years. How quickly you forgot.
Well, have you ever heard of a pet rock limits? We used to have pet rocks, right?
With faces on them, right? And they smiled back at you?
Exactly. So think about that. People were fascinated with a painted rock that you would call a pet. It was very low maintenance, I might add.
It didn't cause any problems around the house?
It's unbelievable.
You didn't have to clean up after the rock?
Right. The things we become taken by and fascinated with. It's just, who was it? Was it P.T. Barnum who said nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public? I think it was. Man, he couldn't have been more right. Anyway, 412-928-9370. Take your best guess. Who's your guy? Do you want the Steelers to take one of these quarterbacks? We played Ben from the Footballin' podcast, his podcast, a couple of years ago, about, I don't know, a handful of games into Kenny's career, where he said, man, I was wrong about this guy. He's actually really good. I thought so, too. So did pretty much everybody listening, especially after that preseason going into year two. We were all wrong, although Kenny Pickett's still young. And if Pony says Mason Rudolph can become the next Geno Smith, why not Kenny Pickett? Could he? Could we all have been wrong, right, wrong, right, wrong about Kenny Pickett? That would make him about the 7,000th quarterback in NFL history who would fit that description for the rest of us. Yeah, we were wrong about him, then right, then wrong. Who's your best guess? 928-9370. Who's your guy? We've been playing the positives and negatives on each one from various commentators because they're not hard to find either way on Jalen Milroe, on Jackson Dart, and on Shedeur Sanders. And the one we didn't hear was on my guy, Dart. Let's hear somebody praising Jackson Dart. Can we?
This is Dan Orlovsky on ESPN. Big fan of Jackson Dart.
Yeah, for me, he's the guy that 2 or 3 years from now, we look back and go, man, people are wrong on him. He's the steal of the draft, essentially. I just believe, Greeny, when you watch his tape, he's so similar to Bo Nix last year. And, wow, a lot better than I had anticipated. I think you got to build crossers into his game. Ole Miss did it a ton, and his ability to see the defense with the ball fake and that backside defender, what type of throw is needed? He sits a little bit of a touch throw, work in the middle of the field, I think, Kellen Moore and crossers. Man coverage, peaks the backside tight end, sees the corner at the bottom screen, run with the tight end. That tells the quarterback, I have man-to-man coverage. Now you have a trailing defender, so that ball has to be thrown with a little bit more of a firm type of ball, led to space. Beautiful throw open to that receiver on that crosser. Teams who drafted Jackson Dart, the team, will have to make this a part of their offense. Same type of thought process, that crosser. This time, that backside defender sits there. You see the ball get firmed right now. And then arm strength. When you're drafting these guys...
We don't need him to go through every throw, but I appreciate it. He basically said that Dart could be the steal of the draft. I agree. Jack Ham loves Jackson Dart. Pat Bostic, a former college quarterback, loves Jackson Dart. And none of us know. I'll keep throwing that in there. PFF likes him an awful lot. Throws really, really accurately. Not a one-speed thrower. You heard a little bit of that from Orlovsky. Knows when to take a little off. Is an accurate touch passer. I don't think anybody would accuse Justin Fields of that. You know, that's something not everybody has. PFF says he struggles after the first look. Orlovsky said he goes through his progressions. You know, that's what we're all dealing with here. Is who to believe? And should we believe our own eyes? Okay, let's hear a negative on Jackson Dart.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd and The Volume on Jackson Dart being compared to a former number 2 overall pick that hasn't worked out.
Jackson Dart. Folks, I see Zach Wilson with the Jets. His best games were against Duke, Georgia Southern, and Furman. It's Zach Wilson. He's impressive, good-looking kid, confident under Lane Kiffin's system, but in big games, wasn't consistently accurate, wasn't great with pressure. Also, Ole Miss has big-time talent. This feels like Zach Wilson, where he's going to blow you away with his confidence. He's got a little bit of an arm, but he was inaccurate in big games. I don't think he sees the field particularly well. I don't think he's an anticipation thrower where I think Shedeur Sanders is. So I don't see it, but he'll get drafted in the first round. Enough GMs like him.
I literally just read a scouting report that said Shedeur is not a good anticipatory thrower. That's the theme of the hour. That's what I've been trying to get at. So is he Bo Nix or is he Zach Wilson? And is the book written on either one of those two, by the way? Do we know for sure that Bo Nix is going to move ahead and be great, be a star? We never really know after year one. Do we know that Zach Wilson's done? Probably. But there have been other guys who have resuscitated their careers that we thought were busts. 412-928-9370. Is there a guy that you're backing going into this draft? Do you want the Steelers to take a quarterback? Let's take a call or two before we get to the top of the hour, Limitless Wonder.
Let's do it. Let's go out to Mike in Fort Wayne.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Hey, Joe, I just have a general question for you. You know, if we know that nobody knows what they're doing, figuring out how to find a quarterback. And I think we also know that, I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen type quarterbacks, they just don't grow on trees. We're not going to get the next Patrick Mahomes. So if we know those two things, don't we at some point in time have to say, our guy's good enough? Instead of just the nonstop, let's keep burning first, second round picks on the unknown, don't you eventually have to say, Mason Rudolph, you know what? He's good enough. Let's just go with him, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields? Would you have gone with Justin Fields?
Yes, because I feel like he could be Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think
so
Hurts
could Jackson
is like
Dart.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm just saying that at some point in time, we have to quit jumping in on the crapshoot, don't we? And just say, you know what? this guy's good enough. I mean,
I don't know, because can you win with that? Can you win with a just good enough guy? I mean, here's Super Bowl winners. I don't know that I need to go through all of them, but Hurts, Mahomes, Stafford, Brady, Mahomes, Brady, Brady. Nick Foles would be an outlier.
Don't you think that like 22 or 23 teams are kind of in that situation where they whether they want to be or not? They're not going to have.
And they probably don't have. Right, and they probably don't have a chance.
Yeah,
name for me.
Looking for a long time, Joe.
I know. Well, that's the story of the Buffalo Bills. It's the story of the Cleveland Browns. The Buffalo Bills went from Jim Kelly, and it took them 25 years to get Josh Allen. It's the story of the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that's you just explained the story. Now, if you build an all-time great defense around Trent Dilfer or around a late-stage Peyton Manning who can't even throw the ball anymore, or, you know, you get lucky with a Nick Foles or a Jeff Hostetler. It happens, but I don't think that's any way. Everybody's searching for the Holy Grail, and they're right to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing, though, is had we said Mason Rudolph was, let's say he's good enough, let's just roll with Mason, the first go-around, we would have known what we had with Mason Rudolph probably, what, a year before Ben retired because Ben stuck around too long.
Yeah, but he stunk. That's the problem. He stunk. He fell apart in Cleveland and then in Cincinnati. And Mike Tomlin rightfully went to the duck. Mason got replaced by a duck.
But wasn't that because the people say that, but wasn't that because Tomlin was trying to protect Mason Rudolph, just the mentality aspect of it. If I recall,
I mean, maybe that was part of it. Maybe, but he started him the next game against Cincy after the Myles Garrett incident and the accusation and everything else, and he was horrifying. Yeah. And so Duck came in and won them that game, and then they started winning with Duck. And then the next time we really saw Mason, and by the way, I'll never forget, and I appreciate the call, I'll never forget that going into that Cincy game, the game was in Cincinnati, you recall, the debut of Duck Hodges. They said early in that broadcast, I forget who was doing the game, that Mike Tomlin told them in the production meeting, we're going to find out a lot about Mason Rudolph in this game. Well, Mason Rudolph got benched at the half, as I recall. He fell apart. So if Tomlin was being true to his word, I guess that's why he never used him again, really, unless forced to. And that was pretty much, I think of the Detroit game in the meantime, pretty much until those final three games when their season was falling apart and he had no other choice. And yes, Mason responded against the broken Bengals, the bad Seahawks, and the Ravens JV team. That's a fact. The Ravens didn't play a ton of people in the last game. The Seahawks had a bad defense that year, and the Bengals were, you know, a joke. Their defense, anyway. All right.